appreciate that you allow us to come into your presence today. We appreciate that you allow us to sit at your feet today. But Lord God, we still need to hear a rhema word from you. We need a word, Lord God, that's going to go down in our spirit, Father God, and change our lives. Don't want a tickling word, Father God. I want something that has got meat on it that I can digest and it can be used for good nourishment in my spiritual movements, in my spiritual walk. We ask you to use this body as your vessel to speak to the people, Father God. I confess my sins and fault before you, Lord God, and ask you to forgive me of them, Lord God, as we go forth inside your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Please bear with me. If it's okay with y'all, on the end of every month, I don't teach. And so I didn't want it to hinder the flow where I was left off Wednesday night Bible study. So, and since I'm going to preach this evening, I thought I'd take Sunday morning a little bit different inside the church stuff. We're going to do our next Bible study lesson. So those that... That's where we're going today. We're going to go review a little bit of what we taught about on Wednesday. And I want to teach today because I've been teaching on the cost of discipleship. I'm at a different place in this ministry. And can I just talk for a few moments? Can we just, let's just relax and talk for a few moments. I am at a different place in this ministry. And I think that there are a few churches that are gathering themselves for a different movement. I'm fed up with us jumping around, shouting, having a good time, and not being true disciples of Jesus Christ. I'm tired of seeing people come to the city and leave the city. I'm tired of seeing folks wandering around in churches in wilderness. I'm tired of seeing folks going through the same thing week after week, year after year. And we going to church and having a what? Good time. Yeah, we jumping up and down. The anointing of God is there. You know what makes it so? You know what makes it worse? The anointing God be there in the church when we having a good time. And we are not receiving that which we need in order to live a proper life. And when I really go and talk to God about these situations and my major concern with the body of Christ, I love it because he always bring me back to the simple things of life. He said the problem inside church is that nobody want to be a disciple. There's too many babies inside church. So I'm going to do a quick review of something that I see that is overtaking church, and that's babes in church. And I'm not going to, Wednesday nighters, I'm not going to stay too long on it, but don't y'all feel that they need to hear it too? And I ask that you do, don't you start think that they need to hear? Some of us need to hear it was on Wednesday night the second time. And I think you need to take a self-evaluation if you're a babe or not. Because there are only two classes of people up in the body of Christ. There's babes and there are disciples. There are disciples. Disciples are followers of Jesus Christ. And there are babes. And the babes was inside the multitude. We are in church, but we are still babes. So there's only a few of them I really want to deal with, and we're going to go to them. Babes have little knowledge of the scriptures. Because babes had little knowledge of the scriptures and understanding of the scriptures, they would drink poison, eat insects, play in the street, and even jump into a pool that is way over their head. And it's the bad part about it, we're talking about the babies of the world. We're talking about the babies. When you're a baby in the world, and just like Mish with her little son and Miss Kaylee, if she can have her way, she will be able to eat cake all day long. Because she's a what? She do not understand that eating cake 24/7 is not good for her. She don't understand when mama say it's time to go to bed because she got to get up the next day. She do not understand because she's untaught. The first thing that we want to deal with when we call it discipleship, that they're going to be a group of people that's inside churches that are babes, that they need disciples to teach them. And that's why the church is lacking, because we got a church full of babes and no disciples. Hallelujah. Me and wife were talking the other day, and I was like, you know, there's so much that I want to do. If anybody ever get online, go to Pastor John Jenkins' website and look at what he has organized for his church. He has classes after classes after classes. He told me, and he told us that we was doing a session, he said he has more teaching classes at his church than anything else. When he built the church, he wanted classrooms so he can teach people to be disciples. What we want, we just want a sanctuary because we just want to have church. But having church is not going to get you into heaven. It's learning how to live right. Coming from the status of babe into discipleship, that you're able to teach other ones how to be disciples. But the problem is everybody expects the person that sits behind the pulpit to do it all. That's why churches are so small. It's not because the people can't come into the church. God do not have enough leaders that's in the church to handle the fluctuation of people that he wants to bring to the church. We need diverse leadership. I'm going somewhere. I may not finish it. Inside the ministry, where one can do finances, one can teach new converts, one can do the women, one can do men, one can do counseling, and pastor do not have to do them all. But what happens is, I feel like teaching. I'm going with you, Lord. I hear. Once leaders get a little bit of anointing on them, or they get a little bit of power on them, or they get into a little bit of position on them, they want to branch off and start their own ministry. the church is no longer what God has ordained it to be. Everybody wants to be the headship, and nobody want to be leaders in the ministry. Or when they get in a position, they get so power hungry, you got to beat them down. But God has ordained in 2 Corinthians for us to be ambassadors for them, bringing them back to reconciliation or to discipleship. That's our job because he did it for us. But soon, as Sister Janice get on you on a praise team, you want to leave because I don't like her. You don't have to like me to respect me. And I really don't care if you like me. And we don't have to be friends to do this thing. The scripture just says, I just got to love you. And to love you means that I want the best for you. Oh, I'm going to teach this thing today. And the best for you is to get you out of that babe mentality of you wanting to have your way, that I can't mess with you or say anything to you. Oh, you're going to go run home with your ball after we call a foul on you. I'm sorry, there's other balls besides your ball. So the first part of the babes are not the babes, but those that God has called to be disciples. You have to get on your job and teach those that are unlearned. Listen, how many of y'all wants to go to school when you were small? No. So the babies do not want to be learned. Some of y'all has been placed in people's life to mentor them. You giving up because they not doing what you want them to do. A good teacher is not worried about them doing what they, but they're going to keep on teaching. They're going to be there for them. They're going to let them fall. And they're going to be there to pick them back up. I'm looking for some disciples in this ministry. Some leaders, babes, and the reason why it's difficult for us to be around babes when we are disciples, because babes are very easily to be offended. When babies, the worldly babies, little babies are very sensitive, and their feelings are easily hurt. And when their feelings are hurt, they like to whine, cry, pout, and they even like to throw tantrums. Because their feelings are, you hurt their feelings. As an adult, dealing with our kids, sometimes we don't know we hurt their feelings. And then sometimes we really don't. I love my daddy. I'm telling y'all, I had the best dad growing up in the world. I used to suck my thumb. I'm going to tell y'all this. to some people, it may be mean. I used to suck my thumb all the time. This one right here. Get me one of them little soft blankets, like the felt blankets. I went to town. Old man used to tell me, boy, you're too big to be sucking your thumb. You're too big to be sucking your thumb. One day he pulled his knife out and said, Glenn, come here for a second. And put the knife on it and said, I'm going to cut it off. No, no, Daddy, no. Another time he had a truck full of cow manure. I remember this. And he stuck it down in there. I never forget. I ran in the house really quick and washed it off. People may think he was mean by his tactics, but he was trying to teach me something. He requested a numerous time for me to stop. And because I didn't stop, he took other means and methods to try to get me to grow up and realize you're too old for that. Some of our means and methods may not be what babes like, but we will try different methods if we really care about them to get them to stop. Where is my disciples? Number three, babes often find themselves fighting with other Christians. Hallelujah. If you're at the daycare and you leave kids unattended, they will start fighting about anything and everything. They will slap other kids, kick, pull hair, poke, punch, argue, and scream. And the reason why, they don't know who their friends are and who their enemies are. They think everyone is their in church. The reason why they fuss and fight, because they don't know that you are their friends. In church. The reason why they act towards you like they do, because they don't know that you're doing this to help them. They're unskilled, unlearned. They got thin skins that they don't realize that you're trying to do it for their good. We in this ministry got to grow up and allow other folks to help us become disciples. Where is my disciples? Babes enjoy being a center of attention. Hallelujah. We got some 40, 50, 60-year-old babes that is crossed in this crosshair. Got folks been in church 40, 50 years and still want to be the center of attention. Hallelujah. You want the spotlight always on you. You ever seen a little kid that when everybody's sitting around and a little bit of attention starts showing towards them, they carry it to another level, don't they? But the bad part about it is this, that they want attention. It doesn't make a difference whether it is good or bad. As long as the spotlight is on them, babes will speak up when it's not their turn. Act up when things are going well. Show out in an effort to draw attention to them. My daddy broke me up at that at a young age. He had a man come out inside the driveway, and I never forget this. Let me explain this. This is all when I was young. And so a man said, hey, how you doing, sir? I said, what's up, chicken butt? That was it. That was it. Trust me, when everybody else came to that house, I greeted him, how you doing, sir? Why did I do that? Why did I do that? I wanted, we have babes in church that do crazy things just for people's attention. The reason why, Janice, Tawana, Eric, that they acting crazy on a praise team because they want attention. It's the spotlight ain't on them. They not getting what they want to feel like they are a person. The reason why they say so many crazy things to you because they want attention. The reason why you get so many phone calls is not that their days are so bad or their life is so rough. They just want your attention. It gets to a place where life is not normal unless they call you or in the spotlight. They can't take criticism. They could, but they don't want to, because they want you to keep fussing with them about things. Because whether your attention to them is on a positive or negative, they really don't care. They just want to be seen. When I first came inside Christ, who told me that I could sing? Nobody. But I wanted the attention. I don't deal with things that I don't go back in my past and see. I cannot sing. I knew I couldn't sing, but I wanted attention. I sung this song and I sound horrible, but you couldn't tell me because I didn't care. Because I wanted to. Hallelujah. And until I fought that demon, God could not place me in a position where now I don't care about attention. So what happens is I needed somebody to be a disciple in my life that went through that area that can teach me that's not good. A Christian babe need to be seen and not heard. Sit down. You ain't going nowhere. Grow up. Where is my disciple? A babe is never satisfied. I ain't going to get past this today, ain't I? I thought it was going to be quick, but God said, stay in it. A babe is never satisfied. Babes never are satisfied for one thing. They will whine for toys, and when you give it to them, they play with it one time and throw it away. And as soon as somebody else comes to pick it up, they say, it's mine, mine, mine. A babe is never satisfied. If you give them what they want, they're going to want more. A baby is never satisfied. It reminds me, since Tubby's not here, I can talk about him, that if he comes in the office and I'll put candy in one hand and he know he got a second hand, he want candy in both hands, and then he going to put it in his mouth and say, Pastor, because this hand is free. They don't want it. But to them, you love them if you give them what they ask. So now we have a church full of babes that are only looking at God to fulfill everything they desires. And if God don't give it to them, God don't love them. And if pastor's not at your beck and call, I'm going to another church. Don't he realize I called him 3 o'clock in the morning? Why didn't he answer his phone? But I needed to ask him a question. I needed to ask him a question. Well, what was the question? Well, tomorrow, what shall I do? Trust me. I'm finding out that when you get longer in Christ or higher position in Christ, it's not omitted from these base mentality. I dealt with an individual yesterday. I was like, wow, going to tell me, you know, he was mad at me because I'm not spending time with him. I told my wife, I said, I'm cheating on you. Must be. Don't know it. Because the guy act like he was my wife. I told him I've been busy. I can't be here, there, and the other. That's no excuse. We all busy. Well, are we all busy? Then why do you need me to be there? But we not like we used to be. Well, I'm working. I got a family. I got to take care of my family. I have a ministry. I'm trying to grow a ministry. But I seen you talking to da-da-da-da-da-da. Y'all friends now. What are you talking about? Friends. I'm friends with everybody. But he felt like somebody taking his place in my life. He's not satisfied. That if I could be there with him, he still wouldn't be satisfied. And you find yourself in a position where he's just draining you down and down and down. Dealing with unsatisfied folks can just draw the sap or the juice right out of you that you don't. That yesterday I wanted to study. After getting off the phone with him, I was wild. And he's a preacher. And I love him to death. But you can't satisfy someone that's a babe because they don't want to grow up in certain areas in their lives. And they using you for a crutch because they scared to stand up on their own. Babes has trouble staying clean. Hallelujah. You can give a babe a bath. put a nice pretty little outfit on him, sit him down on the couch, and say, don't go anywhere. Do not go outside. I'm taking a shower, and we're leaving in 20 minutes. When you come out of the shower, they're not at the couch. Babes has trouble staying clean because the neighborhood kid come knocking on the door and say, hey, want to go play football? They forgot all about what mama directed them to do because that was on the outside of the house is more fun than just sitting down inside the house because they babes with no responsibilities don't understand where they going. Don't understand they need to be clean where they going. That they're just concerned about the moment of having fun. Hallelujah. Babes just wants to have fun. But we cannot comprehend a disciple why they just don't sit down. But did you ever think if you turn on the TV for them? Can you compromise our standards of being disciples and lower down just a little bit for babes so they can stay clean? Did you tell them that they can play toys in the house? Or did you change your whole means and method of dealing with it and you take yours first and inconvenience yourself and let them get dressed second? As disciples, it's about us that we have no concern or we forget what it's like for to be around babes or to be a babe. That it's become so much about us that we forget that it's our jobs to keep them clean. So when now the event occurred while they outside playing football and they see the end zone and only thing between them is them and their arch rival. Last week he scored on me. I'm going to score this time with my pretty white pants on, white shirt and tie, and my black shoes. I'm scoring. That he get tackled down before the end zone and grass stains down his pants. Now he realized when he looked down and see that he's dirty, uh-oh, I'm in. He don't get up and go back in the house and look at his mama because they got to go to church because he don't care about the future. All he think he cares about is now. That's why he don't say, I messed up. It's easier for him to turn the pants inside out, put them on, and let's try to fool mama. Why you got your pants inside out, G? That's where all the kids are wearing them now. What do you mean? That's how we're doing it now. So, mama, let me wear it this way. I want to be cool just like them. Oh, so what was you doing? Oh, I just went in the kitchen to get something to drink. That was it. When you came out of the shower, that's all I was at. So I was driving. Then I walked out the back door, and I seen the kids playing. And so I just sit there on the side and watched them. I didn't do anything, mama. Time is winding up. Mama got to get to church. I'm going to wear her down. Or they run in the room real quickly and change to something else. Or it was on there when you put it on me. So now babes think we are, as disciples are, babes. They have trouble staying clean. Where's my disciples? How are you going to handle that situation? Baby become jealous over other people's success or other babies' success. Babies only care about themselves. And they are totally self-centered. They always want what you have. And they get mad when somebody has something that they don't. They will steal something from somebody else and say it's mine. No, it's mine. Mine. No, it's not. It's mine. Christian babes are the same way. Christian babes get jealous over the success of others that they can't rejoice when somebody else is blessed. They don't want to see somebody successful. Because if it ain't them, they're going to talk about everybody else that is succeeding. That's why it's, as an adult, your adulthood will be tested dealing with kids with the spirit on them. Because they get on your nerve at this point in time. And you'll find yourself stooping down to their level that you cannot stoop to their level, that you have to simply say this: no, it is not yours. Yeah, it is. Ignore them. Because now they're linking on with the second one. I want your attention. That there is a cost of getting out of babehood into being a disciple. Watch what the word disciple means. One who has learned or been increased in knowledge, who now embrace and assist in the spreading or the teaching of others. In other words, a disciple is one that gather information and can't keep it. It's got to help teach others. You're not a disciple until you would teach others that which you have been through or learned. So if you're not teaching, you're still a babe. Wow. So if you can't tell, if you can't tell your testimony of what you have learned to somebody else, you're still a babe. If you can't let things die in order to teach somebody else that they may die, that they may not die, then you're still a babe. God allow you to go through, then put you in a position to teach. And now they doing the same thing you used to do. If you cannot let that die and you forget about it, then you still obey. There's a cost for discipleship. One scripture and I'm closed. Luke 14 chapter. One of the most unique scriptures when it comes dealing with this. And it's thrown so much out of content. 14:26. 25th chapter verse says, and there was a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them. Who is he talking to? The multitude. Babes. He's talking to those who have not entered into discipleship yet. He's talking to the babes that have not entered into discipleship yet. I thought this was so unique. Watch what he says. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brother and his sister, yeah, and his own life, he cannot be my. I thought that was crazy because I thought we're supposed to love everyone. Y'all missed it. He's talking about if we are disciples, I don't like what she's doing. I don't like what my wife doing. I cannot take what they doing and love what they doing over the rules of God as placed me as being a disciple. In other words, you got to hate the babe mentality that's in your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, anybody that's around in your life. You have to hate that, despise it, detest it to the place where you are willing to give your life to save theirs. He
telling us the biggest struggle in becoming disciples is the one that you love. The people that's closest to you that you has been placed to minister to. Because they will hurt you. They will butcher you. They will talk about you. They would abuse you. But you got to realize it's not them. It's the babe mindset that's in them. And if you love them enough, like you love your own kids, you will train them and teach them to deal with situations and circumstances and to be there for them. This one's hard. You know what makes this one the hardest? Because I can't see a grown person as a child. How can I look at Tanya on the same level that I look at Kaylee? If Tanya walked up to one of y'all or walked up the pass and did like this, what y'all gonna say? Whoa, what's wrong with her? If Tanya walk around with a nook in her mouth, when I'm preaching, I'm about, y'all gonna say, she got an evil spirit on her. Am I joking? Because we seeing people out of the natural eyes. The scripture clearly says from babe to discipleship, there's one qualification to distinguish when you have entered into discipleship. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5th chapter, Hebrews 5th chapter, I'm sorry, 14. Now let's go back to 12. For the time ye ought to be teachers, you had need for one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such that have need of milk and not strong meat. Everyone that use milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He is But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Even means equal to. You got it? Or this how you know when you're ready for discipleship or maturity out of babe mentality. You ready? Who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and. In other words, when I can distinguish the difference in Tanya, that babe mentality is a mentality and not her, and not look down on her because of her age and still help her in her weak spots, then I'm a great disciple. When I can look past Mike Jones' faults and still minister to him in the area where he's weak and he don't really get on my nerve enough where he just come and just walk away from him and say, forget him, then I'm a disciple. When I don't get too frustrated with the older ones, because we have patience with the kids. Then I am a disciple. It hurts. It's frustrating. But he has called me to be an ambassador of him, reconciling individuals back unto him and teaching them until they come fully matured in Christ. That's my job. My job is not to come in here every Sunday and have a babe mentality, killing the body of Christ. In this ministry, I do practical teaching more now than I ever have, because I'm tired of having church of old while we dance and shout and people leaving the church because folks don't know how to act towards each other. But we had a good time. Oh, yeah, I offended 5 people, but that's okay. God was still there. How you offended him? Oh, I told him, get out of my way. You don't want to praise God? You going to hell. I praise him for you. We say some crazy things under the spirit and put underneath the umbrella that God says. We abusive in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We offensive in the name of Jesus. And we think we can put the name of Jesus on the backside of it, and we got a hall pass to do or say whatever we want to say.
We have no concern for individuals at the level where they're at. We don't care to understand that they may be 50 years old, but they just came into Christ. And the moment they're going back out in the world, you know what our justification is? Y'all ready? I knew they wasn't saved anyhow. You know what my answer to you is? You're not evil. Because you don't care about people, then you shouldn't be inside church. Every individual in here I love, and I want the best for you. And if everybody in here can't say the same about everybody in here, you are not a disciple. Because I don't want the enemy to have none of y'all. I'm tired of losing people back to the world. I'm tired of losing people back to drugs, to alcohol. I'm tired of them. It hurts. Do you remember when you used to hurt? When you felt nobody was there for you? When you cried in the midnight hours and nobody was there to help you? Now that you're a little bit stronger now, you're looking down. The scripture says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the words of our testimony, and loving not our lives unto death. Our mentality have to change. I'm away from this whole movement where I have to run up to you and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Just change. Because it's just words. Real true repentance when you turn. It didn't say what you say. Oh, y'all missed that. Y'all missed that. Because y'all think repentance is, Lord, I repent. That's not repentance. That's confession. Repentance when you turn and the other way. It's an action, movement. Let's stop saying it and start doing it. When a soul is not here, their text messages, emails, voice messages should be so full that they call somebody and say, oh, I was just sick. I'm okay. But we don't need to do offensive texts. Hey, I miss you today. Everything okay? You know what? God taught me this a year ago. I messed this ministry up by trying to do it all. It wasn't that I was trying to offend anybody. It's not that I was arrogant about my doing. I just wanted to please God so much that I wanted to do it, that I became a crutch to this ministry. And the ministry have not grown at full strength. Yesterday, I tried to be a crutch in this ministry again with the men's ministry. And lo and behold, I thank Michael. I thank Terrence. I thank little George and all the other ones, Tawana, that for this men's service, I have not put my hand on anything. Thank Roosevelt. Before, my hand would have been all up in the Kool-Aid, mixing flavors together, telling you, back up, I got it. I told you, I thank God for my friend, because he is my friend. Because of him, I didn't feel like being bothered with none of this. When Mike called, I was on the phone with him for about an hour and a half, wasn't it? That I'm beginning to understand that I got to. Because if I'm not here, this ministry, I really want to keep on going. Pray God I stay for a long time. But, you know, I ain't trying to leave here no time soon. It's legacy. But until you raise up mature people, you have no legacy. Babes are not legacy. Mature men and women, disciples, are legacy. He never went to the multitude when it was time for him to leave. He went to the disciples and told them, greater work shall you do. I can't do it all. And for those that are in leadership, you have to distinguish your leadership level underneath the City of Refuge umbrella and your ministry. Most of us mess up because when we get in leadership, we can't distinguish what is what
God wants for us to do later on and what he wants us to do now. Let me explain this to you very simply. If it don't line up with the vision of this ministry, it's for your ministry down the road. And there's nothing wrong with that. He's preparing you for your ministry because you're part of this ministry legacy. But the problem is we leave too soon because we want it now that we miss our blessing. And I'm at a place where I can't hinder anybody else anymore from growing up. I used to make folks sit down. I used to make them do this. I used to make them do that. Sit down and try to talk to them. Cater to their spirits. Can't do that no more. Not going to do that. That's why this ministry is going to a brother-sister movement. We're taking away all titles for a season. There's no more elders. Minister, deacons. Hey, bro. Hey, sis. Because we need a family mentality, not a title mentality in this ministry. We need to be more geared to love you as my sister. Because if you're my sister, I'm not going to abuse you, use you. But if you're my employee and I'm the employer, and I think that, I will. So look at the person next to you and say, hey, bro. Hey, sister. Hallelujah. Kids, teenagers, time for me to come down your street. Your age is not an excuse for you not being a disciple. Jewish customs is man or woman reach a place of maturity when a woman come into her cycle and a boy turned to age of 12. In other words, Jewish custom say you now have to abide by the law. In other words, there's no excuse for my praise team, adult singer when the teen's supposed to. Oh, I'm coming down your road now. You better be careful. Because if God called you to minister and you're not ministering, that's a bad place to be on the backside of God. Parents, you can run up to the clubs and pick them up at 11, 1 o'clock at night. But you can't get them to praise rehearsal or church on time. Or you can't say, ain't you supposed to sing today? Oh, I don't feel like going. Well, there's no option. You committed to the cause. Fulfill your commitment. Every last one of y'all committed to the cause of being disciples in this ministry. When you sign a new members, you committed to the cause of being a member in this church. You committed to giving your tithes and your offering. You committed of giving your time and your talent. You committed. Time to own up to the responsibility that you committed to this ministry. All stand. That's my Wednesday night teaching format. It's hard on Wednesday, ain't it, y'all? Because we do self-examinations on Wednesday. Hallelujah. Because I don't know about y'all. I want to be better. I'm tired of us making excuses for why we're doing the things that we are doing. It's okay to fall, but me just falling on purpose? I'm coaching flag football, and this four-year-old kid out there, he's a babe. And then I got Buddy who has played this. He's mature. Where Buddy, I expect so much out of him. Get on him one time, he'll change. Where he run a pass route. If you don't catch it, he picked the ball up. He threw it to me one time. I said, don't throw it to me. Hand it to me. He come up next time and hand it to me. Where's this little four-year-old that was there? Every time he go there, he jump up, dive on the ball, roll around. He picks it up. He was getting on my nerve. And then God spoke to me and say, he's 4 years old. What do you expect from him? He's not Buddy. We have some four-year-olds, then we got some mature ones. Which one are you?